It is Thursday, the 15th of August, and this is episode 178 of Digital Outbox. Welcome to another episode. I'm Chris, joined as ever by Ian, trying to keep you in line. Hello, Ian.
Good evening, Christopher.
Everything good?
Everything's in its place.
Everything's in its right place. let's start with the news. When I say start with the news, like you say, we don't do anything else but the news, but there we go. Starting on that sad story, so Ask FM, a continuation from last time out, where there was a lot of pressure on Ask FM to release the identities of the users who had bullied a girl called Hannah, who had committed suicide because of the bullying she'd faced. And basically, Ask FM have broken their silence and said they are prepared to release the IP addresses of those people.
I think it's just the kind of lesson there is nothing's truly anonymous. You know, all these folk that were obviously, you know, saying hateful things, thinking they can hide behind some sort of anonymity. It was all logged, and they've had to do something because their advertisers are pulling out. So it was the kind of first, not the first time this has happened, but
well, Cameron interjected and said that advertisers should pull out, didn't they? I mean, there's the government are really going for it at the moment.
No, they are. They've got it's back to being seen to be strong in these things, and there's definitely a trend. You said that a couple of weeks ago, but in election time, whether we like it or not, this has got the public interest because it's not the first time it's happened to Ask FM, and but I think it's just a cautionary tale. I guess the kids are using this, but don't care.
I think they're probably oblivious to it all. But at the end of the day, they won't be oblivious if they get a knock on the door and get asked to come down to the station, please. Going to be a bit of a trend, like government interjecting anyway. LavaBit was an anonymous email service and hosted in the US, I believe, but they've come out and said they're shutting down their doors because they cannot offer the service they want to offer because they're having surveillance and government interjecting in the background.
And this was, I'd be honest, I'd never heard of LavaBit, but I think among security conscious people, and if you're wanting to pay for email and be happy that you're using a secure email service, there was LavaBit, and there's another one called Silent Circle who also shut down, and they kind of prided themselves on secure online services, guaranteeing that the authorities didn't have access to the information, etc.
Basically, it encrypts everything that you do there and absolutely. Back, and therefore it's impossible for a security firm to eavesdrop effectively.
After the US government interjected and made some claims on LavaBit, the guy that runs it says he really has no choice. It was either become complicit in that or shut down, and he's actually shut it down. And I mean, there's 350,000 customers. This isn't a trivial, small, tiny service of just 10,000 people.
No, and this is the first time that a company that we know of has taken that decision to shut down shop rather than to actually just comply. So what that kind of does show is the chances are any anonymous service, as soon as they get the knock on the door, are complying in some way, whether that being letting the government snoop behind their encryption or giving them the keys or whatever. So.
Yeah, I mean, and the founder of LavaBit is a chap called Ladar Levison, and he says, this is his words, "I've been forced to make a difficult decision to become complicit in crimes against the American people or walk away from nearly 10 years of hard work by shutting down LavaBit." And the other company that I mentioned, Silent Circle, they have not received any government orders, but they've said the writing's on the wall for all these type of companies. And I mean, Ladar Levison, I mean, he went on to say, basically, you can't really host anything in America anymore. If you want your information to be secure, don't host it in America.
Yeah, it's amazing how thirsty these governments are, isn't it, to get everywhere. Absolutely. And literally, and I guess these companies are targeted because the kind of people that actually go and seek out these kind of companies are ones that maybe have got something to hide. I mean, that's not necessarily true, but nevertheless, that's probably why they're looking there. They want to find out why people are talking in private, I guess. And that will be the government's point of view. But nevertheless, it's just a horrible state of affairs, I think.
And seemingly Ed Snowden So Edward Snowden is the guy that's obviously been behind all these leaks over the last sort of 2-3 months, and he's currently, you know, hiding out in Russia. They believed that he used this web, sorry, this email service.
Right.
But considering, you know, considering Americans, you know, trot out so much stuff about, you know, amendment rights, etc. Amendment. Well, it just, that's not right.
I know what you mean, though. Yeah, you know, their constitutional rights.
That's it.
But yeah, yeah, and it just shows that actually some of the things we see in movies are true. another bad, that was a sad story. Maybe one that was on writing on the wall, but BlackBerry's now up for sale. Kind of after months, stroke years of them claiming that they're going to be able to get out of them this hole, they've kind of just admitted a bit that they can't now. So they're running down shop and are looking for buyers.
I guess there's been a kind of bit of a death spiral. Probably not the first year of the iPhone coming out, but certainly the second year, and then when Android started taking off, there's been a whole
by the time they hadn't reacted feeling. That, you know, by then it was like, what are you going to do, BlackBerry? That, you know, what you have done so far is not up to scratch. It is a shame because they're the ones that started it all. You know, their handset was the reason that Apple and all that sort of saw the opportunity.
And I mean, they were an absolute behemoth. You know, they had the corporate market sewn up.
They had 50% share of the American market.
Yeah, but there was also a kind of arrogance about it. It's almost like the kind of Microsoft arrogance. You know, who wants that smartphone? Who wants to spend that money on a device? You know, it's crazy. And it was like, no, there is an appetite. There's a massive appetite.
There clearly was. And the thing is, BlackBerry also went for the corporate market, where, you know, obviously Apple went straight for the home user, the home consumer, if you like. So and BlackBerry never made it into that kind of home consumer, you know, market.
No, a couple of my friends did actually love it. They loved their BlackBerry and they kind of chatted on it all the time, but...
But again, it was what do you call them? Tech leaders. There was people going for something a bit out of the usual. And, okay, I mean, I think we talked about this as well. The BlackBerry Messenger, they had that sewn up as well, but they lost out that you know, the lead, because a load of, you know, younger users used that because it was a free way of communicating, basically.
Yes. But
they lost the lead on that by not spreading it outside of their network. So by keeping it only to the BlackBerry network, it lost all of that traction it had.
And I mean, people said three, you know, maybe even longer years ago, that they should get that, you know, Messenger service out to every platform. Yeah. But there was, whether it was a lack of, you know, internal vision or just the belief that they were doing the right thing, they kept it to themselves. And then this year they said, we're bringing it to Android and iOS. And it was too late.
Horse bolted. So it sounds like they might reemerge as a technology firm, but also maybe take the niche market of, you know, highly secure. They've got this highly secure down because they've got security centers in all the different continents, basically. So they can do secure browsing and device use better than any of the other providers at the moment.
Pretty much, but they also do give access to governments.
So, yeah, well, that's the... I mean, we did stories ages ago about, you know, there was a Middle East security centre which basically the government had to have full access into.
And certainly we've seen American government recently, you know, approving iOS and Android, you know, latest versions alongside BlackBerry. So BlackBerry have always had a kind of... You know, they've always had the kind of free run on that market by, you know, their devices were permitted first and they've always been secure. But the kind of big three, and I'm sure Microsoft, well, they're not the big three, but I'm sure they'll be kicking around as well, that kind of corporate market, because Windows Mobile does look semi decent.
grudgingly semi decent. I had the misfortune to use Windows 8 during the week.
It's just not very good.
It's a cluster fudge. It's really, really bad. And the thing is, I was trying to teach someone who hadn't really used a computer before how to use it. And I know it's not fair to judge, you know, a system based on the fact that I hadn't used it properly. And, you know, but the fact that I couldn't And there doesn't seem to be obvious ways to do anything in it. That's the problem. They've taken Chrome away so much, you know, the actual user interface away so much.
Were you using a touch device? Were you using a touchscreen?
No, it was just...
that's the problem.
Standard computer. And, everything disappeared. And trying to say, well, why, if you drag your mouse over there, then something's going to appear. And then it doesn't all the time. And it's really kind of intermittent. And it was really frustrating. And I just saw all the pitfalls of this horrible thing.
So if the person you were teaching still using, remember the little bits of gold, I think it was called Start 8. So that brings back that kind of start menu, which just seems to rescue it for so many people. And I don't know whether...
Well, I think, the latest release, you can probably update to the preview release. But having to update someone who's new to computers onto a preview release just to get it usable is just ridiculous. No, never mind.
I think we're still 2 months away. I think it's middle of October before it's actually out. But the kind of key issue seems to be if you've got a touchscreen, it's fairly usable. And if you've not, you're just struggling. I run it in VM. And because of the kind of touchpad, it's actually slightly easier to use in most Windows laptops. It's just horrid.
I know I'm straying well off target. So like little things like if you run Internet Explorer from their, you know, their Metro interface, whatever they're calling that now. And, you know, when you initially go in, you get the address bar that pops up. But then there's no easy way to get that back once you're on a web page. And in fact, the only way you can get it back is was right clicking on a bit of empty white space. Teaching someone what is an empty bit of white space rather than what's an image and things like that, it's just impossible. So you can't, and even use of right mouse button was a bit obscure for them. But anyway, it was horrible. Never mind.
But you're describing that. I mean, from a corporate perspective, why would anybody roll that out? You think about, you know, so we're rolling out to Windows 7, bizarrely from Windows XP. That just shows you how problematic corporate computing is and how far behind we are.
I would only get a Windows 7 laptop if I was buying a laptop now. It'd be Windows 7.
Absolutely. I mean, if I was doing a user guide for Windows 8, what do? Do a screenshot of blank bit of white bit.
Space, yeah.
I say, and right, click on this.
Yeah, I mean, even when I said, you know, click on an empty bit of white space, they found a bit of empty white space that really wasn't empty white space. So it's, you know, and then how do you explain that? It's just, anyway, blah, blah, blah. O2, they've given us 4G pricing. And it's pretty much what we were expecting. So £26 a month for, you know, you're unlimited everything other than data. So 1 gig of data in that price. And then ranging up to SIM-only tariffs, £32 for 8 gig. Of allowance, but that's only if you sign up now. If you're a bit later to the party, so got after 31st of October, that's going to get dropped to 5 gig for the same price.
Yeah, and I think I made a mistake when I was typing all this in. So it's 36 for 8 gig.
Right, yeah, fair enough. That sounds a bit more reasonable. I was going to say 32 actually sounded all right.
Yeah, and 5 gig is 31, which is the same price as EE, but they do it for 3 gig. But it's bizarre, if you sign up before 31st of October, you get 5. And after you get 3, and it's like...
annoying. Why do that? Never mind.
And it's a bit like the Vodafone one we covered last week that says the first 3 months is unlimited, and then we'll limit.
Then we'll choose what we're going to put you on. Rubbish. But say, all these prices are coming out, and they are a lot of money. And data costs, I guess. I think O2 is only 3 big cities to start with rolling out late, you know, through the year.
Yep, London, Leeds, Dirty Leeds. And Bradford.
Okay. Don't think there's any more to say on that.
No.
Are your bins tracking you?
I hope not.
Well, they might be, because apparently this company had been putting out bins in London, which basically picked up MAC addresses from your phone as you walked by. So obviously the company said this is a glorified people tracker, you know, a footfall tracker. So they were hopefully going to track the number of people going by these locations, but also maybe integrate them with advertising screens and things like that. So as you walked by it, you know, it could put adverts up for you.
And Google got fined a lot of money for this.
Thing is, Google got fined for Wi-Fi stuff, didn't they? As in they actually collected packets. This is supposedly just collecting their MAC address. But MAC address is still an individual number, and that individual number is attached to a phone, which is generally attached to an individual person. And regardless of whether they eventually get to tie it all back in, which I'm sure they would be aiming to do it somehow, you know, that data is all being collected. But the City of London have stopped that.
It just seems bizarre.
It's Big Brother, isn't it? You know,
And they're saying it's like extremely limited, it's encrypted, it's aggregated, it's anonymized, but they wouldn't be collecting it if there wasn't a benefit in collecting it. And as you say, that there will be
the Facebook shadow profiles we're talking about?
Exactly.
This is exactly the thing, because Facebook will know your MAC address from your phone because you've been accessing Facebook via your phone. And as soon as they then can tie that MAC address to your footfall, they can now track you around, watch where you're going, follow you, have advertising following you. But and then attach it via a shadow profile for you, so you never know.
And the problem I've always got with these type of companies is they say, well, we don't do anything with this data, blah, 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 blah. But they never tell you whether they sell that data on to somebody else who could be mining it together with a whole lot of other things to say, aha, we now know that that person is this guy.
It's still clever stuff, and I think it's still inevitable. And the City of London haven't said, you can't do this. They've just said it needs to be open and have an informed public rather than doing it, secretly without them knowing.
Yeah, as I said, my main worry isn't what that particular company does with it. It's
just the fact that there's a pile of data there.
Yeah, it's when you hear about, was it one of the banks? Was it Barclays was saying it was selling on its...
Barclays said they've changed all the terms and conditions and said, yeah, we can do that now.
Yep, and we can sell on your data to other firms. They're like,
do whatever we want.
Hold on, you're a bank.
Yeah, thanks. Pirate Bay, they've celebrated their, is it 10 years?
10 years.
Wow, flipping heck. They've celebrated by releasing a proxy browser, basically. So it's called the Pirate Browser, and it lets you get round or circumnavigate, what's the word I'm looking for? Banned sites, censored sites.
So any of the kind of proxy blocking that's going on, and any of the ISPs are blocking a whole of the torrent sites, and obviously the impending... impending blocks that the UK government are wanting to force the ISPs to bring in as well. This seemingly gets round it all.
Yeah, so basically it's using the Tor network, so that's the kind of cluster of cluster of servers which allow you to relatively anonymously browse around things, plus a few plugins into a Firefox browser. It's kind of like the Tor's own anonymous browser, but it's not designed to make you anonymous. It's just designed to circumnavigate these blocks that have been put in place. There was a story during the week, actually, of a block that pulled down a ton of big sites.
Radio Times.
That was it. So because there was a site that was, I guess, copyright infringing, that was on an IP address that then got banned, and that IP address happened to be hosting DNS for a number of big sites. So, and all those sites got pulled down by this one request from a copyright owner.
It was the Premier League. So the Premier League have been battling a whole load of... So they're trying to obviously protect, the billions of pounds that they get from Sky and the other broadcasters around the world for their rights. And they've been trying to fight these, I guess we always say small firms, that are streaming online, but obviously they're getting massive traffic. And so this was it's First Row Sports.
Yeah, and they rely on the fact that in other countries you're allowed to have these, allowed to put out free terrestrial of Premiership, basically.
And I noticed actually it was Saturday I noticed that the block seemed to be kicking in. Because my Virgin broadband was down, so I was just searching Twitter for is it a me problem, is it a Glasgow problem? Because if you phone Virgin, they tell you nothing, and you go to the Virgin website and it was saying everything's fine, but all you have to do is search Twitter and it's like, okay, so Glasgow's out.
Yeah.
But as I was searching it, people were saying, can't believe Virgin's blocked First Row Sports, I'm leaving. If they're doing it, every ISP will be doing it.
Yeah, exactly. And so you're not going to get around it. But because it's come from a court order, but what was amazed me was the court order just said, yep, okay, bank, block that IP address. And it's up to the copyright owner to identify what that IP address is.
Yep.
With no recompense. I mean, I don't know if there is going to be any, clash back from the fact that he did pull down these two big sites.
I mean, so BBC have got the news from yesterday. Premier League only became aware of the issue when the BBC contacted it. The problem only occurred if users typed in radiotimes.com rather than the full www.radiotimes.com.
It doesn't matter, does it?
Oh, exactly. The editor of the Radio Times expressed anger at the news.
Well,
it is
outrageous. I wonder whether there's any comeback for them. The courts are saying it's up to the copyright provider to provide the right IP address, and clearly the IP address wasn't the right one, but it also had knock-on effects, which affects business, doesn't it?
And I think this is this will be the first of many we see. You see, once these government blocks comes in and somebody says, "Well, I'm blocking,"
they're blocking
for
bigger and bigger sites as well, aren't they? That's the thing.
But remember there was the kind of alleged topics, and one of them was like smoking. So what does that mean? You know, if the Guardian has an article on smoking, does that mean the Guardian's blocked?
Yeah, there was a site that was blocked. Some weird, I think it was one of Shakespeare's plays. Was it Hamlet or something?
Because of violent content.
Yeah. So there we go. Apple, they've tried to calm or quell fears of this in-app purchasing dearth that seems to be around, especially around kids. So apps aimed at kids, in-app purchasing are now going to have to be controlled via a PIN.
About time, to be honest.
Yeah, to be honest. This in-app purchasing thing is getting pretty ugly.
It's killing games, actually.
Yeah,
getting away from the kids spending thousands of pounds, because adults spend hundreds of pounds and thousands of pounds, and that doesn't really get reported. It's always the kind of, the shock.
Well, that's their own fault.
Yeah, but it really is ruining games. It's certainly, we've had this debate before about, and we'll come on to it, one of the other stories we've got later on touched on it as well. I'd rather pay, instead of like 69p for an app, because developers are saying we don't make enough money, charge me a tenner then. I'd rather just pay for the game rather than this,
you say that, but they will have sales figures to show that if they charge it for 10 quid, they ain't going to get as much money as they do if they sell it for free and then do in-app purchasing. That's the
But give me the choice. So put two versions up.
Yeah.
So you know what I mean? So it's like, if I'm happy to pay that up front and I'm one of the few, give me the option. Don't make me...
Games are now designed around the whole concept of in-app purchasing. So that it's actually changed the design of games, and not in a gaming way, but in a commercial way, which is a pretty, ugly thing. And I agree. It's ugly. I can see where in-app purchases can have their place. But I think it's just the whole focus at the moment is in-app purchase rather than the actual game.
Yes.
Xbox One, another, not backtrack. I think we're pretty much back to the console we always wanted now. So Kinect, you don't have
this
to have
is,
it.
This is a backtrack. This okay, annoys me. I'm wagging my finger.
So basically, they have Xbox have now confirmed that you do not need to have the Kinect sensor turned on. So initially, we were told that it would need to be sat there and it would always be listening and always be watching to offer, the full features they wanted to offer. And then privacy got involved and they said, hang on, you're listening to what I'm saying and you're monitoring what's in my room. And Microsoft do comply, let's put it that way, with government requests. So what's to stop you just broadcasting what's going on in my house and all that, gubbins? And they didn't really have an answer to that, but now they've said you can sit and turn off your console, your sensor.
I'm still convinced next year we'll see a SKU coming out that says you can just buy an Xbox One without Kinect. I'm convinced. And they're denying it. They're totally denying it because obviously they're wanting to protect us, your sales.
Yeah, sure. And they're still saying you need it to be at least wired in so that it can act as an IR blaster for all their media-based facilities.
Yeah, guff.
but they've got a setting now you can turn the sensor off, so if you're worried about your privacy, apparently that will turn off. But again, I don't believe that either. Anything at the moment.
No, I actually didn't care, and this is going to sound terrible, I don't care about the privacy side of it. I just don't see it as, I've still not seen a game that, the closest I've seen was when they said for FIFA that you could shout out a sub rather than going through all the menus, because FIFA's menus is always rubbish. And I thought, you're playing a game and you want to sub a player, it'd be good just to go, Xbox substitution, blah blah blah. And I thought, that's one of the... See, the rest of it, I just thought it was a bit gimmicky.
I've done Xbox pause every now and again and Xbox play. That's it. Yeah. And I did feel like a knob.
But for me, it was it's just, I can't see me using it. And it's massive. It looks massive.
It's ginormous. Well, they did that unboxing. Unboxing still amuses me, but I still watch this unboxing for whatever reason. And it is ginormous. It's this massive thing. It's like a little weird Android face. Anyway.
It's too big.
Let's go on some games. So we've had the Call of Duty Ghosts multiplayer reveal. We had a video during the week. And I haven't watched it. So I'm kind of relying on you to let me know about this. Not that I'm actually going to buy this game. I'm a bit bored of Call of Duty.
Yeah, it's just basically it's like Call of Duty from previous years. It was I didn't.
They've
I
given
it.
A few things some different names.
There's lots more modes, so there's up to 20 different multiplayer modes now, which is kind of like get a grip. You can also do squad versus squad, so I could play you, and it's my squad that I've built versus your squad that you've built. So it's like you're doing kind of like 4v4, but it's really 1-on-1 with you controlling the squad and a bit of AI in there as well.
Right. Okay. So you basically have more bots in the system to help out with your multiplayer.
Well, it seems a bit, I don't know. I didn't really like the sound of that. Character models, there'll be females for the first time.
Right.
Whoa.
They exist.
And they said there was a lot of, and they talked about, instead of Apple's tent poles, the Call of Duty had pillars, built around three pillars. One was character customization, so you can customize all your, you know, uniforms, face, all that nonsense. And there's 20,000 possible combinations to body type, weapons and gear.
Goodness.
Yeah. And the second pillar was on game world, including dynamic map events. So they were showing you, certainly the trailer showed you more almost like in a Battlefield. You know how in Battlefield the environment, you couldn't hide in a room because the room could get destroyed.
Yeah. Okay.
They showed you that kind of thing. So you were crouched down behind it, you know, a bit of concrete, and the guy threw up a grenade and blew the wall away. And the guy died, and it was like, so that's interesting because I think it might
That'll change the game massively.
Yeah, I mean, I think that first person shooter Call of Duty, I have more issues than any other, just for people like, you know, just hiding in the shadow and you just couldn't see them, and you just get this little ping shot, and you'd be like, where's that from? And you see the kill cam, and it's like you couldn't see him. You know, it was just totally invisible. It wasn't just like a sniper and you could see a bit of it. It was just somebody invisible. And that used to irritate me. Very irritated by that. And and the third pillar is taking Call of Duty everywhere. So you can take your stats from current gen to next gen.
They're basically storing it in the cloud.
Yeah. Yep.
Have they confirmed that it's definitely going to be across the two gens now then? I guess they have by that.
They already had. Because I think there was people, you know, obviously Microsoft had done it as a, you know, that was part of their big announcement. It was all about the Call of Duty Ghosts and that we're still getting multiplayer maps on Xbox first ahead of Sony's platform. I didn't really see that as a big deal, but they're obviously paying some cash for that and see it as a big thing. And EA have been talking about this as well, that, you know, if you do buy like FIFA, you know, whatever progression you've made, once you get your Xbox One and you buy FIFA again, your career and all your stats go with you.
Well, yeah, and so that's where all this massive infrastructure they've got around servers and stuff comes in, like not just storage of data, but, you know, I guess it is tracking your across games as well.
Yeah, so certainly, it's the Ghost multiplayer looked decent. There was dogs.
They're the most successful multiplayer ever, I think, isn't
absolutely.
It?
And I'll probably still pick it up, especially just because I'm getting a new console.
It'll well, like, that's the that's ooh. My issue as well. That's probably the only reason I do it, because last time I did only play it about twice.
So see if Halo was coming out the same day.
No.
We're buying this.
Yeah. But we also had GTA 5 multiplayer reveal, which I think that came out earlier today, so it's only just been making its rounds. But I have to say, when I was watching the kind of the reveal video, it's confusing as to what it is, but it actually just makes it sound like it's kind of GTA, but in an open world.
Well, it's a separate game.
So effectively, yeah, it sounds like, you know, it's like having a GTA game, but with other people in it.
Yep. So when we buy GTA 5, which I know we are buying,
yep.
And so that's coming out in September 18th, so only 4 weeks on Tuesday, something like that, not far to go. When we get that, you'll be playing the single player game. And on October 1st is when you get access to Grand Theft Auto Online. So it's not GTA 5 multiplayer. It is almost like a MMO based around Grand Theft Auto. And you can do a whole lot of stuff in it. You know, you can customize the character. You can play with teams. You can go on missions. You can just tour around if you want and do absolutely nothing.
It does. So, I mean, Red Dead was the first one to really kind of do this. So you kind of,
yes,
you can move around the world, and there's people around you who are also in the same world, but then you get to join into, you know, you move over to a particular area, and that might have a a game of, you know, I don't know, capture the flag or whatever, however it might be. So then you go into that game, and effectively that's not then in the open world. You're in a kind of enclosed gaming environment. And once you finish that round, then you come, you know, you get plonked back into the open world again, where you can, again, it sounds like you can do more than you could in Red Dead, really. There's more things going on just dynamically as you're living in this world.
Exactly. And you can... There's just so much, even though it was a 3-minute, kind of video that came out. CNVG have got a 50-minute video up, because they were up to Rockstar North. They've got a demo of it. We've got a 2-page article that just takes you through all the things in it. You know, you can buy houses, you can customize the houses. The houses have security cameras. There's a kind of Twitter equivalent within the game. You can invite people over. So if you're playing, you know, if you're playing GTA 5 and I'm in a mission, I can invite you over and you can join. We can work as a group to do missions. There's a lot of coordination. As you speak, it tries to lip sync with your characters in game. There's just a whole load of little touches that just look like, what the hell, if they've pulled even like 50% off of the way it reads, it looks
I wonder
massive.
Whether this is why we've had this delay, because obviously it was supposed to be out much earlier this year. I wonder whether this is one of the big reasons they wanted to actually nail this multiplayer aspect and maybe understanding some of the Xbox One features that are going to be available, like these server farms. Maybe that was important to them to find all that out.
Well, remember, this isn't an Xbox One.
It's not, but they are talking about releasing it for Xbox One as well.
Yes, and I can't believe that they'll wait to like GTA 6 before releasing it.
Unusual, yeah.
Yeah, I can see it. And in some ways, I mean, what they've talked about, you know, saying that the reason for the part of the delay is to let people get used to, you know, GTA 5. It's a kind of different game to the other GTAs. And for me, what was quite exciting to see, just by splitting it, probably means I'll actually play some of the single player missions.
That's it. They put a lot of effort into that single player. So giving that 2-week gap forces people to play that single player and really, like I say, not waste some of the effort that goes into that. Because when you release something that is truly incredible online, well, there's no proof that this will be, but it sounds pretty good. It does mean that the single player gets neglected.
Yeah, and there's going to be mission... So as a user, we can be able to create missions and races, etc. They've not talked about how this is going to be funded. Obviously, you get free access as part of buying GTA 5, but they've been a bit coy about, because all they've said is that there will be future updates. You know, we'll extend the world, etc. We'll put missions in, etc.
They can't do this without charging.
No, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
They're saying that they're going to put a passive mode in as well, which is quite an interesting development. Basically, if you just want to go in and not just get shot every 2 seconds, because obviously in a free world, everyone's free to shoot you, I guess, you can go into passive mode, and that means you can have a wander around, you know, and probably partake in individual games, but not get shot in the actual main world.
Oh, the thing is, when you, I think it was in the CNVG article, they talked about that, you know, when you die, you leave your cash behind. It just lets you get in and get started, get your, you know, like foot in the door and get used to it, and
hide in a corner before turning it all on.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know what it's like when you're playing, you know, you're playing like a game like Halo or COD and you're up against a team that are really good, you just get pwned, and there's just
especially if you get dropped into the middle of a battle and it's like, oh, hello.
Yeah, I mean, yes. me and Bernie suffered in Sunday. it was a particularly good team we were up against, and it was like, this is just torture.
Run away. As
Roy said many years ago, I think we should just hide in this cave and just wait for the game to finish. And foolish Ian stood outside and took it like a man and died horribly time after time after time.
Good for the stats. Anyway, so it's not far away now till GTA, and we're all very looking forward to that. Lots.
It's just such an exciting time for gaming. I've been really quiet.
Such a quiet period. I mean, yep. Unbelievably quiet. Like even the gaming sites have been like, "What the hell do we do?"
But for me, September, you know, GTA is coming out. October, obviously, there's this online part, and then November is new consoles.
Yep.
And I'm not going to pick up it. I'm not going to pick up FIFA or COD on the old platforms. I will bide my time.
That's all. Couple of updates. So Dots, you talked about this before. It's one of your picks, I think, as a really simple game, but it's out on Android now.
Yep. And there's a new game mode as well within it. And it's a really good game. So grab it. Definitely grab
it. It's a quick fire game. It's like one of those one more go, one more go, one more go.
It's 60 seconds. And it does have some in-app purchasing as well, but it's not needed. And that's the thing I like about it. It's like, you know, as you're playing it, you don't need it, but it's there if you were really, if you're in the zone, you wanted, you know, you wanted to actually buy things, then crack on and do it. But it's just not needed to play the game.
But Plants vs. Zombies 2, it kind of is needed. I've not downloaded this. I think I did my Plants vs. Zombies on the verse version, which was very good. But it did drag, you know, draw me down after a while. Wore me down.
And it's come out today. I mean, Edge reviewed it a month ago because it was supposed to come out in July, and it came out in Australia and New Zealand. It was almost like a kind of quiet soft launch of it. And I don't know if that was them tweaking the how much should be given against how much should be charged. It's free, so anybody can try it. It's out for iOS. You know, it's universal. It's just so much. I've only played through like 4 or 5 levels, and it's fine. There's nothing. There's no hint at what's to come. And then it kind of just kind of hits. It's like, oh. And to get onto the next world, and I think the Wired review covered it, you can grind, but you could play previous levels and grind, or else you pay $2.99 to unlock the world, and you can move on. But there's a whole load of, like, you know, paying to unlock worlds, paying to unlock plants, or else it's just lots and lots of grinding. And it's a lovely looking game as well, and I'm sure it's going to make, you know, a lot of money. But again, it's EA, and they did this with Real Racing. You know, they made it free, and everybody was like, oh, wow, free. It's going to be ruined by an app, and it
I think Ouya was having all these problems as well with the fact that they said it was free. Every game would have a free version, or at least a free-to-play element. And obviously everyone's ideas of what that meant were very, very different based, you know, whether it be a demo, you had to unlock it after a certain number of minutes playing, whatever, you know. So seeing the same thing, I'm sure a big company like EA will balance it all out eventually, but yeah, so it doesn't encourage me to or make me want to download it at all, really.
No.
Any picks?
Dots.
Dots again.
Dots for Android. I might actually have. There's I've actually grabbed quite a few apps over the last sort of 2-3 days. And there's a really exciting Markdown text editor come out on an iOS today. Called Editorial, which has been getting lots of press because it does lots of automation, and the guy behind Mac Stories, Federico Vitici, he has done a 25,000 word review of it, which is just like, it's just incredible.
That's like a blooming thesis.
He's been using this app for 8 months all through its beta test, and he uses it to basically write everything on the site. He is far more productive on iOS with this than he is on a Mac with similar editors.
So he
absolutely loves it. And it's only $4.99. So that was like an insta purchase for me today just to go and play with. And my kind of previous text editor of choice on iPad also came out an update today with a made universal. So it's now iPad and iPhone. And I boldly switched on iCloud syncing and it worked. I was like, Jesus.
Gosh, that was brave.
Jesus. Well, I had about 300 kind of notes, and they all synced, and I made a change, and it worked. And I was like, Jesus.
Well, I won't last.
you're right.
Yeah. That's the end of our podcast. Good stuff. So if you want to find out more about us, you can do www.digitaloutbox.com. Email us info@digitaloutbox.com. Twitter and Skype, Digital Outbox. I am on Twitter as GZUK, and you can follow my racing at academyracer.co.uk. Ian.
My blog is iand.net, and Twitter, I am there as Shweepa.
Whoop, whoop. So that's the end for this week. We will talk at you again next week. See you then. Bye.
Goodbye. I'm all out of words.
Yeah, so.